morning, counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Janet Gustor for the appellant and plaintiff, Mr. Augusto. And I'd like to reserve 4 minutes of my time, please, for rebuttal. I think everybody here agrees that the facts of this case are just horrendous and tragic. And the tragedy here was compounded by the fact that my client was deprived his day in court because of 3 legal errors, primarily, that the court made. The court erred in finding that the social worker had a mandatory duty. Did not have a mandatory reporting duty under the facts. The court also erred in applying a subjective standard in making that determination. And the court finally erred in finding that the Mandatory Reporting Act didn't prohibit the social worker from both making the determination of whether to report and investigating it on the spot. That is something that the BH case prevents. Here, the court below correctly assessed that the meeting on August 15th began in the course and scope of the existing investigation, but the court didn't take that next step to apply the fact that during that meeting, there was evidence of a new incident of abuse or neglect, one that would have required a reasonable person under the same circumstances to make a report.
So, counsel, you're referring to the fact that the social worker asked the mother whether or not she smelled alcohol on her breath. Is that what you're referring to?
That is one of the facts.
What else was there?
In
the meeting, during the meeting, where I think the argument is made that the mandatory reporting duty was triggered, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the one thing was the social worker asked the mother if she smelled alcohol on her. And what else would have triggered the mandatory reporting duty?
Well, at that very meeting, we know that Mazzarella was actually under the influence of alcohol.
Well, we know that now, but the social worker didn't know that at the time.
Right, but
so we're talking about what would have triggered the mandatory reporting duty at the time of the meeting.
I understand what Your Honor is saying, but the law doesn't focus just on what she knew and what she believed. It is also what a reasonable person under the circumstances would.
What a reasonable person. This is a reasonable meeting in the parking lot, right?
Yes.
After work, and she's covered with, she was working as a cook. She had apparently soiled clothing from work, and she said, no, it's soy sauce, right? So what would a reasonable person, that's Judge John Rawlinson's question, right? What other circumstances was she overlooking that would have triggered a duty?
The fact that she was a trained social worker that was aware of a history, and
a reasonable third person that we're plopping into this hypothetical. Yes.
Yes.
So
but
objectively, what did she miss?
Objectively, this is a woman who is 2 hours late to the meeting that refused to have the social worker meet her at her place of work, that didn't explain why she was late, that told her a lie that even Lee documented in her paperwork that...
Was there a lie that the social worker should have recognized that night?
Yes, because the lie was recognized prior to that, I believe.
What lie?
That she couldn't call her back because her phone was annihilated. She noted, social worker Lee noted that in her case notes that...
That would trigger a mandatory reporting duty the phone?
It would...
And being late to the meeting?
But... It would trigger a reasonable social worker with the training that deals with addicts and abuses in a
house. Have a reasonable
house.
Basis to understand that this child is in danger, right? There's a risk to the child, right?
Yes.
So what are the circumstances that night in the parking lot that this woman's phone...
Would she arrive?
She
arrived
late.
Drunk. I mean, I get that the social worker did not pick that up, but she did. She smelled alcohol. End of story. She investigated that smell by asking Mazzarella you know, what is that? Do I smell alcohol? And Mazzarella said, no, it's soy sauce, which, I mean, is absurd.
I guess whether it's the end of the story depends on, we're applying California law. And my reading of the cases, at least initially, suggests that you need, I mean, this is a criminal law, right? So maybe the burden of proof does some work here, but this is a criminal law. And the California courts we're obligated to follow seem to require direct knowledge of the harm, right? So there are cases in which it says it's not enough for, you know, students to be suspicious and telling the teacher, that the mandatory reporter has to witness the thing leading to the new harm that's being investigated. How do you respond to those cases? I'm thinking about the couple of Doe cases, Lawndale, Oceanside, dealing with sexual abuse.
Well, this was an observation of a mother under the influence who was literally driving her child away while under the influence. That would, if assuming that she recognized that and assuming this court agrees that everybody was clear that she was under the influence and then drove away from the meeting, there's no question that would be a new incident.
Right. That's a separate question. I may assume that I'm with you on the first question in terms of that there was a mandatory duty to report the new ones under the BH case. But the state courts seem to draw a pretty high standard for what a reasonable person, even a trained reasonable person, would need to notice to have this mandatory reporting duty under pain of criminal liability.
Well, I think there's language at BH that I think is crucial that actually talks about a reasonable suspicion. And actually, the penal code section itself also uses...
Oh, I get the reasonable suspicion. But that's not, those aren't our words, and that's not for us to develop doctrine around. It's for the California courts, and the California courts have told us, as I read the cases, that in order to establish a reasonable suspicion, it usually requires witnessing the abuse. And there, this is, I mean, what makes this case hard is you're saying, well, Ms. Lee had the abuse should have been baked in because part of that reasonable suspicion was that she was under the influence and driving the child. But she didn't observe directly driving under the influence with the child.
Well, she did. She witnessed.
Only if she had there's an extra step there, right? And that's what's giving us the problem. She had to have had a reasonable suspicion under this test that she was under the influence.
She would have had to, a reasonable person would have had to have a reasonable suspicion, not her. There is nothing subjective in the law that is looking at.
Well, how does that help?
I understand that, but I don't, we understand that, but remember, I said we're plopping in, right, an objective person with this social worker's training and experience and knowledge that this person had previously driven while intoxicated with her child in the car. I'm giving you all of that.
Okay.
Still going back to that meeting that night, and I think we're all struggling with the same thing. Well, what put her on notice such that this reasonable, not subjective, objectively, what put her on notice that the child was in danger?
Well, all of the information she came to that meeting with about what she learned from Mr. Augusto, and the fact that...
Can you be specific? He had said that she's an addict, that she has this history. I think the social worker knew that, right?
Yes, and yes, absolutely.
And what else?
During the meeting, Mazzarella admits that she's been sober for a year and a half, and then says, but I drink occasionally. And she had just had a DUI a month earlier. I mean, you're either sober or you're not sober. It's kind of like the whole, you know, partially pregnant, you know, you are or you're not. So there's signs there. Mazzarella knew that, I mean, Lee knew that Mazzarella had been using illegal drugs. Augusto had informed her on July 18th about that. She knew about Mazzarella's prior history of OxyContin abuse and that she had received methadone treatment. She saw a drug test that did not test for urine and knows that the mother had an alcohol DUI, an alcohol-based DUI a month prior and just accepts that.
Well, the drug test that the mom showed, the social worker that night, showed what?
It showed that she was 3 weeks ago on one day clean of drugs. It did not test or show results for alcohol.
Is your argument that that cuts one way or another?
Absolutely.
Where does it cut?
Against Mazzarella's being an honest witness of her own state at that.
Why does the test cut against her honesty? I don't understand that.
It's 3 weeks old. It's not complete, and it is being used as a current test by the social worker.
If it's dated, then it's not being used as anything other than the date that's on it, correct?
Yes, but there was no test, no subsequent test, because of the existence and receipt of this expired or no longer relevant drug test.
You have, I guess you've led, and in your briefs, you're discussing a lot of federal cases, and we've got to find the controlling state case that doesn't just set the standard, BH, but I mean, what's your best California case that would suggest that the mandatory reporting duty is triggered when the mandatory reporter should have a suspicion, right, has to link a couple things together, has to put the full picture together, but does not actually witness any new acts of abuse?
Well, you know, BH says that the duty to report arises not on the basis of the mandatory reporter's personal assessment of the facts known to her, but on the basis of what a reasonable person
would expect. Right, that's restating the statutory test.
Yeah.
Where have the California courts applied that test in a way that wins for your client? Where there's not someone actually witnessing the conduct, because those are the only cases I've been able to find in California.
I'm not trying to be difficult or evade the question. I don't have a separate case for you, but BH applies because she did witness. She didn't recognize that she was witnessing a new DUI, but she witnessed a DUI.
She didn't witness a DUI.
She witnessed Mazzarella drive away from the parking lot with her toddler while under the influence.
So the reason you're saying that is because at some point, significantly later, she testified that she had been drinking on that night, right?
Yes.
So we're asking a different question. You just got to transport yourself back in time to that parking lot. And what should have put that social worker on notice objectively at that time? You said a minute ago that this mom had been drinking. You said, I get that the social worker missed that. I think we all understand that the social worker at best missed that. But the reason we're saying that is because of a fact that comes, you know, significantly later in the records, viewed with hindsight. This person said, oh, I had been drinking that night. The question we have to ask ourselves is objectively, what would have put that reasonable, that social worker on notice that child was in danger?
Well, the social worker smelled alcohol. I get that there was a explanation.
Okay, hold on. So she smelled alcohol and she inquired about the alcohol and the woman said, that's soy sauce because I've just come from my chef job. And I think, to just finish your thought, you're saying that was unreasonable for her to accept that explanation because why?
She's a trained social worker that understands what she's investigating here, and this is a woman who is, frankly, Mazzarella, is not remotely credible. I mean, she shows up 2 hours, and that's why I said...
Here's the problem. The social worker also knows, as of the night of that night, didn't she... Had the social worker also checked with the daycare and with other folks who gave really quite a positive report of how the child is doing? Do I have the timeline correct? Did the social worker already know that?
Yes, the social worker knew that the child was healthy. Luckily, at that time, no harm had actually befallen the child. But the child had already been in an accident that triggered all of this because her mom was under the influence. And then what I'm saying is that, first of all, for a trained social worker to accept a soy sauce excuse, I mean, this case is going to be known as the soy sauce excuse. Because it basically immunizes a social worker for accepting at face value without any objectivity, any excuse. I mean,
is your position then that the social worker accepting that explanation is inherently, it sounds like as a matter of law, that's unreasonable is what you're telling us.
Yes.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I am struggling to understand your position.
Absolutely unreasonable.
Are there other facts that we should be understanding? The social worker knew of this woman's prior history of substance abuse.
Yes.
She knew the prior DUI with the child in the car. She thought she smelled alcohol or asked about it and got the soy sauce excuse. What other facts should we have on our list here?
She had been evasive the entire time, so much so that the social worker started calling Illy and notes in her notes that it was because the parents were not responsive. And Illy, the babysitter, the occasional babysitter, kept saying, why don't you call the mom? Call the mom. I'm not, you know. We know that Mazzarella was avoiding her. When she shows up late to this meeting, the circumstances are very suspicious. It should be to a trained clinical social worker. At a minimum, this should be a jury question. We're on summary judgment, and these are facts that should be construed.
And I guess that's my last question, at least, is the question of summary judgment here. You've discussed the facts. Your position is you're not disputing any of these facts. The record is clear. It's just the court's application of the standard to those facts. Or are there facts that you say were improperly resolved on summary judgment?
Well, the court didn't look at any of the facts of the circumstances, did not apply the correct legal standard, in my opinion, of the reasonable. The court does not discuss the reasonable person standard or discuss any of the facts that would have suggested to the clinical social worker that this person is not trustworthy and should be at least viewed with some skepticism as soon as the odor of alcohol from a known addict is being detected. Those are highly significant facts that the trial court really did not discuss. And I think it is critical. I mean, yes, Mr. Augusto's testimony was repeatedly contradicted by the social worker's testimony. There is conflicting evidence, but those are matters that I take in favor of my client.
Well, I think it's undisputed that Mr. Augusto had never reported her for being an unfit mother, and he continued to share custody with her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is kind of a new stance for him at this juncture, fairly read.
He did repeatedly express his concerns, however, and yeah. did talk about the fact that she shows up on occasion drunk to pick up June and right. whether or not.
But he never released, made an official report that of child neglect or any of that.
Not in California.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, counsel. You exceeded your time. We'll give you 1 minute for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
Jill Williams on behalf of the County of Los Angeles. May it please the Court. To answer Your Honor's question about what California cases have done regarding Penal Code Section 11166 and whether there are any cases that support the appellant's position, there are not. And in fact, the Doe versus Lawndale case is very clear. It says the mandatory duty triggered by Penal Code Section 11166 refers to those facts known to a mandated reporter, not facts the reporter did not know but should have known if they would have done more of an investigation.
What are we supposed to do with the fact that we see reasonable suspicion as a matter of federal law? And that seems like a different standard in terms of if we're talking about a law enforcement officer or someone else in that standpoint in these circumstances. Reasonable suspicion seems like a little lower bar, and that's the word that the California legislature has chosen. So how do you explain what move are the California courts doing in terms of setting a standard? What is the difference between them, or is it the same? The reasonable suspicion.
Well, in the Doe versus Lawndale case, they talked about exactly what Your Honor raised earlier, which is the fact that Section 11166 is a criminal statute, which sets a pretty high bar because of that. And it's not just enough that a social worker or a mandated reporter be negligent in failing to unearth more facts or conducting more of an investigation. And essentially, the cases in California that talk about this mandated duty talk about how proponents of the theory that a follow-up investigator, such as a social worker here, has to do more. Proponents of that theory essentially are saying, exactly as Appellant is saying here, that the investigation was not thorough enough. They're trying to use 11166
well, to do an Well, I guess that's where and this, you prevailed on this and before the district court, but BH does seem to be pretty clear in suggesting that it was talking about, and I think some subsequent courts might have misread this, that it was talking about the duty to report the prior course of conduct, the complaint of conduct. And do you agree now that if it were a new incident of abuse, that would require mandatory reporting, assuming it met the reasonable suspicion standard?
If the social worker had received information that Ms. Mazzarella was driving under the influence,
what do you mean by that? Does it have to be a complaint? Why can't the information received be the reasonable suspicion itself through direct observation?
Well, so if you look at the cases that talk about it, they talk about the information received. Say it is the social worker meeting Ms. Mazzarella in the parking lot and making observations. Here, I want to clarify one thing. Appellant says that there's evidence that the social worker thought she smelled alcohol. There is no evidence. The only evidence there is Ms. Mazzarella's testimony taken years after this.
That's the evidence.
Do I smell alcohol?
That's the evidence.
Okay, that's the evidence. But there's no evidence from the social worker saying she ever entertained the suspicion that Ms. Mazzarella was under the influence. It would be one thing if the social worker sees Ms. Mazzarella driving into the parking lot erratically, or that she's stumbling, or
I agree there isn't that. But just for the state to argue that there isn't any evidence that the social worker had that suspicion seems to me to be a bridge too far. And when you don't need to, right? You don't need to go there.
And this is summary judgment.
This is summary judgment, and the evidence on which the court relied was the contemporaneous notes made by the social worker, supported by her declaration, which is, I didn't observe anything or see anything that led me to believe she was under the influence.
But she asked the question, and she accepted the answer. It seems to me that maybe if she had thought that she smelled alcohol and hadn't followed up, that'd be a problem, but. Viewing all the facts in the light most favorable, right, as we're required to do, I think it's a very reasonable inference that the social worker thought she smelled alcohol and inquired, and the question has to become whether it's reasonable for her to have accepted that answer, and knowing everything else she knew about this history, was that enough to think this child was in danger to trigger a mandatory duty?
And we submit that it was, when the court takes everything into account regarding
I think you're saying it wasn't. It wasn't enough to trigger a mandatory duty.
My answer to your question was, we think it was reasonable. Conclusion for her to make.
But is that the right legal framework, that the right analysis? This is the follow-up, right?
This is a follow-up investigation.
Right. So I don't think, I perked up here for a minute ago because I thought you were maybe arguing something you're not. The information that came to her could include the social worker's own observations that evening, surely.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And based on everything the social worker knew and saw, and, you know, this isn't a situation of a social worker simply checking the boxes, right, during an investigation. This social worker did a lot of work on this referral that she received. She had numerous contacts with various collateral sources, made numerous contacts with the parents, with Ms. Mazzarella via phone, via text, with the appellant himself. You know, she was following up, trying, you know, to get more information about the family. This isn't a matter of something happening and them, you know, turning a blind eye. They were actively investigating this.
I think that's right. To just explore this further, do I have the fact pattern right that the babysitter and you know other folks had indicated that the child was happy and healthy, and she knew that at the time before the meeting in the parking lot?
Correct.
So what about, there is this indication that it struck me as quite anomalous that she reported that evening to the social worker that she hadn't been drinking, she'd been sober for a number of months, and then said, almost in the same breath, I occasionally have a drink. It seemed pretty odd to me. I don't know that it's enough to trigger, but it did seem to be odd. And then I sort of put that together with the mom produced a drug test. I don't know that she was under any obligation to produce that, right? She went through the drug test, I think, for her place of business. That's clear from the record. But she volunteered that to the social worker. Is that right?
Well, this is what I want to clarify. When Ms. Mazzarella is making statements about being sober, she's talking about drug addiction problems, right? Because clearly she knew, the social worker knew she had been drinking because of the DUI that had happened on, you know, the month prior that triggered.
I think that's the only way you can understand the statement, of course.
Right. Yes. So the Ms. Mazzarella was clear. She's referring to, and when she's talking to the social worker, referring to being sober in terms of drug use, not alcohol use.
Yes, I understand that. But let me ask it this way. When she produced the drug, maybe you could focus on this. She produced a drug report that I think was that her employer had required. Is that right?
Correct.
And she produced it voluntarily to the social worker?
She did.
Okay. So, in other words, she volunteered it. She was not required to be providing drug tests at this point?
Correct. She was explaining. She was saying, I show up to this meeting in the parking lot. I'm, you know, she testifies in deposition. I'm trying to make the social worker, you know, believe and I don't want to lose custody of my child. So, you know, she's showing the
Yes, I understand. And so is there any indication that the employer was requiring that drug testing of this employee only because of her history, or was that just something across the board? Do we know that from this record?
Well, and so after, we do know from the record that after this drug test was provided, a different social worker followed up and asked the employer why they were requesting the drug test, and it was because the employer required it of all employees.
So it's across the board. That's my understanding. Okay, so the prior history of drug use per the father, I think, was it methamphetamine?
He had indicated methamphetamine, fentanyl, and that she had been on methadone.
So you take it for her to be saying, I've been sober, as in clean from all of these substances for however many months it was, and then she says, she's conceding, but I occasionally have a drink.
Correct.
All right. And then in that same meeting, the social worker, at least if we construe all the facts in the light most favorable to opposing party, the social worker inquired about, do I smell alcohol on you, and accepted her response.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
And in addition to the fact that there is, you know, based on what the information the social worker has at the time, that she doesn't conclude Ms. Mazzarella is driving under the influence, the mandatory duty under 11166 isn't triggered. Therefore, it's our position she's immunized under Government Code 820.2. In addition to both the lack of a mandatory duty, the application of the immunity, I think it's very important to look at just the giant chasm of causation that's here. Assuming that even if a mandatory or even if a report had been made that day, that somehow it would have prevented the tragic circumstances that led to the child's death.
But the district court didn't reach that, right? He relied on duty.
The district court did not reach that. But we submit that if the district court had reached that, it was the appellant criticizes us in the reply brief suggesting we don't have evidence to support all these hypotheticals, that hypotheticals aren't enough at summary judgment. But at the summary judgment stage, we had gone forward on summary judgment saying the appellant didn't have evidence to support the essential elements of the claim. And the appellant, as the party that would have borne the burden of proof at trial, it was their burden of proof then in opposing summary judgment to present that evidence to support the elements of the claim. So it was the appellant who had the obligation to show that there was a causal connection between an alleged failure to report the August 15 parking lot meeting and the child's unfortunate death. And the appellant offered no evidence to support that.
Counsel, I have a different procedural question. In the reply brief,
the plaintiffs abandoned all of their federal claims, correct?
Yes.
Do we still have jurisdiction over this appeal?
Well, the court can't, I mean, the court assumed jurisdiction. I guess the court can voluntarily assume jurisdiction. The case has been before the federal court up until now, and I think for the appellant to abandon it now when this court has done, unfortunately, all the work on the case, this court has, in other cases, addressed issues of state law only.
What case says that we retain jurisdiction even though all of the federal claims have been abandoned? Do you have a case that we can rely on for that proposition?
I don't at the tip of my hands, Your Honor. I apologize. But I do know that the court can choose to retain supplemental jurisdiction if the court desires.
Even if all the federal claims have been abandoned?
We're a lot more used to seeing a district court dismiss the federal claims and then decline to exercise supplemental jurisdiction.
That is what I have seen, Your Honor.
Yeah. And I guess the question is whether supplemental appellate jurisdiction is discretionary or not.
And I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't have an answer to that.
That just occurred to me when I saw that in the reply brief, no less, that all of the federal claims were being abandoned. And I don't know the answer.
Well, if the court would like briefing on that, I would be more than happy
to
do
that. We'll let you know if we can't figure it out and if we need additional assistance on that. Are there any other questions? Anything else, counsel?
No, thank you so much, James.
All right, thank you. Counsel, I'll ask you the same question.
And unfortunately, I don't have much more of an answer to provide. I would be happy to research and provide a short memo.
We have very capable law clerks.
I know you do.
If you need your help, we'll let you know.
Thank you, Your Honors. That's a great point. As are actually opposing counsel's points, but they're all points that should be given to a jury. Again, this is summary judgment. And as Your Honor observed at the meeting, the social worker came and asked the question of alcohol, of whether she smelled alcohol. That alone raises the inference that she smelled alcohol, that she observed facts.
She thought she smelled alcohol.
She enough so that it prompted her to ask the question. And at summary judgment, that is sufficient for a reasonable jury to say she suspected in that moment that Mazzarella was under the influence. And that is a crucial moment because what Lee did in following that, when she asked Mazzarella about whether she smelled the alcohol and accepted the soy sauce excuse, that is her conducting a, you know, on-the-spot investigation. That is explicitly prohibited by the BH case talks about that. It says it doesn't permit a mandated reporter to investigate and determine that no abuse occurred. So a reasonable person who smells alcohol on someone who's being investigated for driving while under the influence, who smells alcohol after seeing them.
She smelled alcohol. That you keep saying she smelled alcohol. She thought she smelled alcohol, and she asked a question to clarify it. So the fact is that the record does not reflect that she actually smelled alcohol. She thought she smelled alcohol and then clarified it. There's a big difference between that.
Well, I respectfully disagree that the record does not show that she smelled alcohol. I mean, we know that Mazzarella was under the influence. So what she suspected she smelled
was... When you say that, just I think you're talking past each other. I think when you say that, I'm assuming you're relying on the Mazzarella's deposition testimony some weeks later, maybe even months later, saying, by the way, I had been drinking that night.
Yes.
Okay, so but the social worker didn't know that.
Yeah, we can't consider post-talk. Right.
But the social worker was correct, is the point. When she suspected she smelled something that smelled like alcohol, it was
alcohol.
Is there
a California case that suggests we can look at this in hindsight?
You have to look at the totality of the circumstances.
But the totality of the circumstances.
At the time of the parking lot. As of the time of what they
did. At the time of the parking lot. She had a DUI. She smelled enough like alcohol that prompted the social worker to ask. And that a reasonable juror could find enough to find that she had a reasonable suspicion of her being under the influence. And that should have triggered a report right there. And I understand that maybe it's not the world's strongest evidence. She wasn't swerving, although she did pull into the wrong parking lot 2 hours late, and her kid wasn't wearing underwear and was running around the car kind of distracted, and she had been dodging her for weeks. But assuming just on the very fact of a question of, you know, do I smell alcohol, that is enough for a reasonable jury to conclude that a reasonable social worker should have.
Thank you, counsel. We understand your argument.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you to both counsel for your helpful arguments. The case just argued is submitted for decision by the court. That completes our calendar for the morning. We are in recess until 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning.
All rise. This court stands in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning.